Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked, episode 132, in an ongoing series of ranking things in Star Wars. That's what we are doing here today, but we're also continuing this fun series where we're looking at all the movies and pulling out our favorite lines and putting them in some sort of order that, quite frankly, we would change next week if we were to re-record the show. To do that all with me today is Joseph Scrimshaw.
I am very excited to share, for now, for this moment, my definitive list of personal favorite lines from The Force Awakens.
I was asked recently, could you rank like your favorite Mando episodes? I'm like, no, it changes. always.
Yes, they work together. It's like listing my favorite organs. Like, look, Sure, I can say heart, but you know, heart's kind of screwed without the spleen, right?
Yeah, it is. However, I was the one who created and put this show on the network, Star Wars Ranked, in which we definitively rank everything in Star Wars.
It is a great, we talk about it when it becomes overly harsh of like, this is the truth, but it is a great framework to discuss what you love and what's important to you. And I think that's why, I think the ranking system does get abused sometimes, but it is such a great framework, which is why we all gravitate toward it. So I think you did a good job creating this show.
And you did a wonderful job creating the logo that's still in use to this day. All right, so we're going to get to it. You guys all know how it works. We'll work our way 5-1. We'll throw in some honorable mentions. Last time out, we did Revenge of the Sith. we skipped over the Clone Wars movie, not because we don't really have an appreciation for it now. My appreciation for the Clone Wars movie has definitely grown over the years, but I just got to figure, hey, we covered that on Clone Wars Report. We can revisit that if we want. And not everyone got to experience that one in the theaters. And I know not everyone experienced all of these movies in the theaters, especially if you weren't around 1977, but I don't know. We're just sticking to the classic movies. That's where we are. So we have jumped from 2005 to 2015. Which, by the way, Joseph, felt like forever, but we are almost farther away from The Force Awakens now as we were from Revenge of the Sith when Force Awakens came out.
We're getting there. Very close.
Crazy to think. We got our favorite lines in The Force Awakens, Episode 7. First thing I want to talk about, Joseph, before we get into the list here, as we always do here, we put on these movies to kind of focus on them, pull the notes that we need to. And that can be kind of fun, taking you back to when you saw the movies for the first time. We've been sharing our personal memories on the main show for a lot of things. So maybe we'll hit to the Force Awakens one. I don't want to go into super detail, but what did it feel like actually just watching this movie now, right now, 2021?
I'm so fascinated by this movie because I think it really reflects the story of the movie. For the characters is almost the story of the movie for the audience, where it is so much about both the glory of the past and the just fresh, fun emergence of the new, and how both the new and the old kind of speak to each other and reawaken one another. Like the Awakens title is so powerful. And every time I go back to watch this movie or even like skip around and watch parts, if you list what happens in the plot, lots of heavy, dark, sad things happen, but in general the film has this this energy that is about awakening, about things coming back to life. And every time I watch this film, and my wife loves this one in particular, it's fun. And it's just got this feeling of almost spring, you know. It's like watching a weird Star Wars flower bloom every time, because that's like the energy of it. Even within like a lot of like, it's so weird to say like, yeah, the film where Han Solo is murdered by his son, it's like a flower blooming. But that's the overall effect, particularly of the first half.
Yeah, particularly first half. And I'm just kind of reminded of the early days of kind of falling in love with these characters, like ready to go on the journey, but also reconnecting with the old ones and the legacy, the weight of the legacy on all these characters, like you said, the old interacting with the new is a powerful way to say it. And we can't deny it is kind of a simpler time, which is weird to say, where Kylo Ren's lightsaber was the thing we were fighting about the most, right?
Yeah. Which not the thing we fight about anymore. I like it. There we go.
There you go.
My controversial opinion about the lightsaber. I doubted it at the time. I even did a stand-up joke about it. Yeah. But I like it.
I like it too. And also one of the things I love in focusing on the dialogue, the lines in this episode here, is how much some of these big giant themes that I felt carried over. Go with me, hot take friends. It carried over to 8 and 9 and the rest of Star Wars, and how they were there and they were pretty present in this story.
Oh, absolutely. I think all the big ideas are laid out really, really well, and they go all through the sequel trilogy.
They do indeed. So let's begin our look at The Force Awakens and our favorite lines of dialogue from this motion picture. We are beginning with Joseph's number 5.
Yeah, so my number 5, I have to preface this real quick with what I wrestled with on this film, Ken, is I feel like this film has a bunch of kind of good deep lines, but this film also has just great Kasdan touch of lots of just fun banter too. So I wanted to have a mix of the banter and the depth, and I started with what is in The Force Awakens banter, but I think later kind of becomes some depth, and it is a quick exchange between the great comedy act of Finn and Han Solo when they are on Starkiller Base. Han has just discovered that Finn is only kind of knows what he's talking about on Starkiller Base and is really only there to rescue Rey. Han is upset, and Finn is telling him, it'll be fine. We'll use the Force. Mm-hmm. And Han says, that's not how the Force works. It's always been one of my favorite lines from the first viewing, the huge laugh, classic, grumpy, not only Han Solo line, but Harrison Ford line, delivered with gusto. It has the, it's a little bit more comic, but it's got the, that, you know, never tell me the odds. I don't know how we're going to get out of this one. It's got the just classic. That's some Han Solo banter. Yeah. It's a great subversion of earlier in the film when Han has been like, yeah, no, it's that stuff's all true. I used to think it was a bunch of nonsense, but it's true. Like that he's kind of the one holding the knowledge. And also there's this kind of great, like, real world sort of misunderstood. I don't know. There's like, there's a strange meta nerdery of it, of Finn kind of making this argument. It's like, eh, with the I've heard about the Force. It's, so I wandered around in the air and you can grab it, right? And Han Solo, of all people, being like, that's not how it works. Have you never heard of midichlorians? Like,
yeah.
To have that coming from Han Solo is just really funny.
I love it. I picture a Greef Karga around the corner going, yeah, you just wave your magic little hands. I've seen it. That's all you do. That's all you do.
It really is. Like, yeah, Finn could have said, we'll do the magic hands. That's not how magic hands work. but then it takes on this, like, it's obviously just a really fun bit of banter in The Force Awakens. But later on, when you learn that, well, like, but Finn did have a deep intuitive connection of the Force, so maybe he was a little right.
Yeah, there's the feeling of the Force. And we had that great question on a deep dive show recently about the later information of Finn and the Force and how it changes, or does it even change, or maybe it just emboldens some of the things that he goes through and says in Force Awakens. And I think it works. And I think it's, I look at it now as like, Finn's almost there. He's almost there, right? It's just bubbling up. He's got to learn to connect a little bit.
Yeah. But in the moment, it is just sort of that, like, well, we'll find a way. I don't know. We'll win the lottery. You can't just win the lottery. Like, it's got that just great banter that you'd find in any other movie of somebody being overly hopeful and somebody kind of grumpy going, you're full of it. But specifically about a mystical energy field, just great.
It's a wonderful sequence. So glad you highlighted it, because I still say Force Awakens, especially at 2015, it was one of the funnier Star Wars movies, I thought. And did such a great job of comedy, of character, and comedy coming out of the tensions and the obstacles and the situations. And so much Han Solo stuff was great in this film, and really enjoyed watching it again this week and focusing on it. But this whole sequence followed up by the great Chewie growl and, oh, you're cold? Like, everything about it is, it just had that, the classic casted feel of Empire. It tracks, it works for a reason there.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my number five. It is number five in Force Awakens, but it would probably be, if I had to rank all lines in Star Wars, That's Not How the Force Works would be pretty high up there.
Yeah, that's a great start to our list. Really takes in a lot of what Force Awakens does. Funny, but also the depth is there for you. So my number five, we are going a little bit sooner. We're going to go to Jakku, and it is a line from Rey. And Joseph, I guess I've been saying this line for so many years, it just made sense. Even you thought, it's going to be on your list, right? And I went, you darn right, it's going to be on my list. So thank you so much. My number five most favorite line from The Force Awakens is Rey saying, Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth. Oh, man. I love everything about this line. I love what it means. I love what it means for this film. Don't worry about 8, 9 and where the story goes, whether you love it or not. I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about this movie, the story of the girl from nowhere climbing those steps to be part of the myth, part of something she thought wasn't even real. That's just powerful, and it's great, and it just has more meaning at the end of the film when you go back and watch this line. But also, it's part of the stuff on Jakku that I always want to give Daisy Ridley credit for, of just, she was so endearing. She was so charming. She was so innocent, and you wanted to protect her, but also you were excited because you knew she was going on this grand adventure. And I always cite John Williams saying, I never wanted anyone else to write music for Daisy Ridley and this character of Rey, because I just fell in love with this character in so many ways. And it's a lot of that early stuff. And I just love everything about it. The way she turns, reacts, hears the word, Luke Skywalker, I thought he was a myth. It all that Rey on Jakku stuff early on, the living in the AT-AT, the cooking the bread, the portions, the struggle, everything about her, I really, really love all the sequences. And it all kind of comes to a fine point with this line of, oh, man, I thought I had no place in the story. I thought none of it was real. And, of course, we're all going to find out, as she is, she's very much part of the story. So that's my number five to start us off, Joseph.
That is so great. And I'm so glad that I was able to know you were going to have it, because I was like, I wrestled with this list a lot and it was had that at different slots. And then I was like, what am I doing? Ken will have that.
I mean, and that just comes, you know, here we are, 1,000 plus episodes into working with you, me, and Jennifer. And we wear our hearts on our sleeves. And I think it's wonderful that we have this. But yeah, no, you're very right.
Yeah, I always liked that line. It's always a powerful line just sitting in the theater, but it has just only grown in my estimation with the storytelling of where 8 and 9 goes, as always, with total caveat that it's fine if people don't like the films. But for me, this just got so many layers. It is just Daisy Ridley's great delivery. There are a lot of choices to make, but just the life in her eyes of like how exciting that is, that this far away story, a story that probably gave her hope, right?
Yeah.
Because that myth that made it back to her on Jakku is probably like, hey, I was on this planet once and then this guy with a green lightsaber came in and saved everybody, right?
Yeah.
That it's probably a story of hope, which is why her eyes are just light up in that great delivery. It's got this level of kind of knowing like that's the hook that pulled Abrams in of the idea of what if in the galaxy of Star Wars, the characters that we know were myths to the people who lived in the galaxy the way they are to us? What if they meant as much and we you know, were like so fascinated to meet them and connect with them and learn from them like that, so that this line is sort of the theme statement of the hook of the trilogy. And it goes towards that whole awakening where there's all these characters with youth and enthusiasm, even though they have huge, terrible problems, that are so excited to engage with the previous generation and bring them back to life. Mm. And then the fact that it's just, I thought he was a myth, you know, that makes it tie into so much great storytelling and ideas that are coming up in 8 and 9 about what is the power of being a myth versus, you know, being seen as a real flawed person. And how do you balance those things? And why are myths needed? Like that line, I thought he was a myth, and that light in her eyes directly connects to the end of The Last Jedi when Oni Hosiah is telling that story of Jedi Master Luke Skywalker and showing that people need that. How many nights did the myth of Luke Skywalker get Rey through the night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it comes into play again, with, you know, when they meet Solo, and you are the Han Solo that fought against the Empire. Like, it just, the use of in-world myths was such a great decision because, like you said, it was hanging over all of us.
Yeah. And the idea that Rey could become that to somebody else, and that's her story.
Yeah.
You know, that she becomes that to other people. She is the myth that might show up and save everybody.
Yeah, and a lesson for all of us too. We could be the heroes of our own stories as well.
Exactly. So that is a great one.
We're off and running. That's my number 5, which means we're up to your number 4 line.
My number 4 line is a pretty simple one, but it just captures the spirit of this character and the spirit of the film to me. It is when Poe Dameron says, "We're gonna do this."
Love that line.
With the head nod and everything. Sometimes the best lines are like, ooh, it's so deep, or it's such a clever turn of phrase. And sometimes it's just the ones that get in your head. You know, I've talked about, you know, not great Palpatine lines like "do what must be done" when I think about when I have to clean the shower, right?
Yeah.
When I'm going to do something fun, even if it's scary. This is that perfect line of "we're going to do this." It's so many of us in 2015 came out of that theater with lots of different emotions, but one of them being the sort of the electricity and the energy of the new generation being awakened by the young. And Poe Dameron's, "Hey, buddy, good job." "Oh, did you fall down? I'll pick you up. Good job." Like he was just like, you know, what if Han Solo was also a motivational coach? Poe Dameron, like, that energy is so great and gives so much energy to this film. And then it gets challenged in Last Jedi of like, that's great to have that energy, but you got to pick and choose where you direct it. But here in Force Awakens, it's just the like, What is a challenge for? It's to be climbed. Let's go. We're going to do this.
Well, it's such a great comment. We'll get to The Last Jedi when we get to The Last Jedi on this show. But like, if you're Rian Johnson sitting down to look at like, how can I challenge each one of these characters? You would look at a moment like this where Poe is just like, yeah, we're going to do it. And you know what? They do it. And it's awesome. And how do you challenge that? And so that can, we'll have that discussion later. But I love that you highlighted this. Oscar Isaac, obviously, just on fire as a performer and putting so many good things out there and has been for years. But his part in this movie should not be overlooked and is not overlooked. Could we count a lip bite as a great line of dialogue? I think you almost could.
I almost suggested that we do a separate best non-spoken lines from The Force Awakens, right? Because there's a lot of non-verbal stuff that's amazing.
We might just have to do that for Star Wars because suddenly a lot of Han Solo, finger points are popping into my head, or some Ben Solo ones too. I love that. Yeah, great. Not much more I could say of just like the energy, especially that sequence and what, Finn, what he's going through. He wants to do what's right, but really he's just running away. So there's no confidence and he's got a feeling. He just doesn't know how to build from it. And just Poe, who's just been tortured and in this bad situation, has this vibe of like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're going to rescue ourselves. That's great. Let's do it. Let's do it, Finn.
And I was tempted by I Can Fly Anything because it's a great line. It's cocky, yeah. But that's more the spirit of Poe is we're. Mm-hmm. Not I'm going to do this. We're going to do this.
You're very right, sir. You're very right.
So that's my number four.
Great number four, Poe Dameron. His lip button self inspired us all. My number four. Now, I was surprised. Joseph knows the list so far. I was surprised. This character popped up a lot. But then when you think about it, it's not surprising. He's got some wonderful lines. This is from Maz Kanata, wonderfully voiced by Lupita Nyong'o, of course. Performed too as well. That's some acting there. And this line, the belonging you seek is not behind you. It is ahead. I had to stop myself. He just could have just quoted Maz for a long time. She takes this spot. Remember at the time it was like, is she kind of the Yoda of the series? I just think that's not fair. You're looking at two similarly sized people and throw them in the same bucket. That's not fair to either of them. They're individuals, but she does have a little bit of the mystic advice, the connecting the Force. I'm not a Jedi, but I know the ways around it. And buried beneath that is just why I think Yoda worked in 1980 and continues to work. It is just great advice and great inspirational stuff and great counseling and great therapy. There's so much value in Star Wars. So when the characters kind of just say, hey, here's something that will get you through. And here's a truth that you need to hear with what Rey is dealing with. And belonging you seek is not behind you. It is ahead. That ties to the Jedi lessons of letting go. It ties to the Star Wars lessons of hope versus fear. It ties to Shmi Skywalker, Anakin, you can't stop the change. It's all that spirit. It's why we preach and maybe even occasionally pound our fists on desks for emotional canon here at Force Center. And this line is, it's up there with any of the Yoda advice that you want to hang and frame and put in your office for in terms of just inspiration.
Yeah, I'm so glad you picked this one. And I really agree about Maz. Like she has that great wisdom, but it is a different energy, Yoda's this weird, but serene master who's had this sort of responsibility of the order on his shoulders. But Maz is she's your weird aunt who's, been places,
yeah.
And has a story. Like any keyword comes up and she's got a story of a time that happened to the point where you're like, did you really do all those things? Like, she's got that energy. And I love in this short scene, she's like, Finn, here's your baggage. Han, here's your baggage.
Yes.
And, in a slightly gentler way with Rey in this moment, because Rey really needs it, getting to the source of her issue, too, of like, I know that what you need is belonging, which tracks absolutely through Rey's whole arc set up crystal clear here in this moment. But then going from the story out to Star Wars wisdom that we can apply to life. That line is powerful, right?
It really is.
When you think about just your own life experiences, for me, sometimes I think about like, oh man, I really enjoyed when I was doing exactly this kind of, performance, right?
Yeah.
And like, I can still go do that, but I have to be like, but the years have changed. The people have changed. It won't ever be exactly the same. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You can't go back and just recreate the past. You got to find whatever you need by moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Stepping forward is tough. I'm in a little bit of a position of a professional change going on in my life and career. And it's like, you got to step forward and you know, going against Yoda a little bit, miss the times. I will mourn them. I will at times, but, yeah. But this is that step forward that we all need. And the comforting advice that, you know, what's in front of you is what you need. And I love it. And then also going back and putting myself in the headspace of 2015, Joseph, I understand where we all saw this little section of dialogue, which has to, because Rey answers, you know, oh, like, you know, Luke Skywalker and everything. And we're looking for clues and who's Rey's parents and all that kind of stuff, which I had a lot of fun being part of. And I know a lot of people listening did too. That's never the problem. We never want to sound like we're tisking that. But looking back and going, it's like, this was about a theme. This wasn't a plot detail reveal. This wasn't inviting you. Hey, look, JJ loved to play with mystery box. Yeah, I get it. You want to throw that at me? Understand. But go back and watch the sequence. It is about the theme. It is Rey's journey. That is why Maz is saying this stuff. And that is why it has even more power for me now.
Yeah, it is laying out who Rey is. You know, Luke wants to become a Jedi like his father. Anakin wants to, you know, be a hero and make sure that he never loses anyone. Rey wants belonging and connection. It sets it up as her journey.
It does indeed. And that's why it's my number four favorite line of dialogue from The Force Awakens, and means we're up to your number three, sir.
My number three is one of the characters that I had a really hard time picking the line that I wanted for this character, but I had to go to this one ultimately. It is from our friend Kylo Ren. forgive me. I feel it again. The pull to the light.
Yes.
He has so many great, I'll highlight some in honorable mentions, just snark lines, where you are reminded that he is actually the son of Han Solo. And he has petulant, whiny lines where you're reminded he is the grandson of Anakin Skywalker and the nephew of Luke. But this is one of those moments that really says, yeah, we're reawakening Star Wars. We're examining it. But look, this is not the same as the generation before. This is wrestling with that question of in galaxy, what the characters, the generation coming up behind the heroes, who are they and how are they different because of that? And this is one of those lines that really gets to the heart of what's different and what's interesting about Kylo, of somebody who thinks the path forward is darkness, but is absolutely conscious that they're doubting it, that they're being sold this, you know, bill of goods, that your true self is your dark self. Everybody is a hypocrite and they're afraid of the darkness. And it, you know, look how powerful you feel when you just lean into your darkness. And don't let those hypocrites and liars, you know, tell you it's wrong. To have Kylo, you know, basically apologizing to his grandfather's helmet.
Yeah.
That he kind of feels this tug to stop being a tyrant who murders people for his own whims, you know?
Yeah.
It's so powerful. And it lets us know right away that this is not Vader in A New Hope, right? Who had no question that he was on the right path.
Right.
This is a young, tortured, fallen hero.
Absolutely. Displaced, lost connection, mistakes made by his parents, all those things hanging over him, driving him in a direction, making those choices. We learn more and more about those choices, but I love what you say. It was just like, I'm so sorry today. I just wanted to be nice.
I was weak. I thought, what if I called my mom?
I held the door open in the mess hall for some, you know, techs. Matt, the radar tech, was coming in. I apologize, but yeah, I'm joking, of course. But I think there's a lot of depth to this moment, and a lot of what sets up why I do love Kylo. He is probably my favorite character to watch and study in the sequel trilogy of just everything that's going on. It's a more modern take on a classic Star Wars villain for me. Always has been.
Yeah, and introducing that element of, again, kind of connection to the real world if you want to, that like raise somebody who grew up hearing about Luke Skywalker and thinking, wow, that'd be great to defend people and be a champion and a, a myth of heroics. And here's Kylo, like Rey and Kylo both watched the original trilogy and one of them got the lessons that Lucas intended and the other did not. Kylo only collects Vader toys and thinks actually Vader was right. You know, like there is that element to it, in my opinion. I understand not everybody wants to engage with it that way. And I totally understand and respect that. But for me, that does make it richer that there are those layers.
And Kylo went on to start a YouTube channel called Sith Theory. You can catch it from his car every week. I really agree with you on that. I really agree on it. And again, JJ and team putting out this movie, you know, all involved, of course, Michael Arndt, Lawrence Kasdan, whatever you want to say. But like, what do we do? What do we do? Star Wars has the weight of Star Wars above it. How do we play around with that? And how do we deliver new things that are so familiar? And you could stop at the red lightsaber and the cape and all that kind of stuff. And Kylo just continues to just layers and layers and layers of his path and the story there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And this line is just really it makes all of that pop. And I feel it makes it a tragedy. You feel bad for Kylo. Like, yes, call your mom.
Just call your mom.
Just call your mother, Kylo Ren. So that's my number three.
Well, my number three kind of picks up from that, but it goes a little bit before. And my line might be part of the reason he's having that conversation with that helmet there. I'm going to the very, very tippity top of the movie. Max von Sydow is, of course, Lor San Tekka. And remember, you know, Lor San Tekka was Boba Fett. He was Kanan Jarrus. So all these wonderful theories about who Max von Sydow was going to be playing. Instead, it was just very, I thought, impactful, almost cameo at the beginning of the story. And the San Tekka clan, the House San Tekka, rolls on in the High Republic in a lot of wonderful, intriguing ways. But I love, almost could have written any other line from his conversations with Kylo Ren. Something far worse has happened to you. I know where you came from. You called yourself, before you called yourself Kylo Ren. But I went with Kylo Ren saying, I'll show you the dark side. Lor San Tekka responds, you may try. And then I just love this part of it, but you cannot deny the truth that is your family. Kylo Ren responds, you're so right. And then kills him. But there's just something that it is this, there is a light side haunting line. Like it is like, you, I know what you're trying. I know what you're trying to make yourself into, including this mask. The Poe's already got some good jokes at your expense. And that ain't you. And you will never, no matter what you do, you will never be able to deny the truth that is your family. All problems within that as well. But you'll never be able to do it. And guess what? Kylo Ren is never able to deny the truth that is his family, which is probably why he's having that conversation with that helmet a little bit later on. Max von Sydow is, of course, one of the greatest actors of all time. He has the gravitas to pull it off. I love him as Lor San Tekka. I love him starting the movie, giving just all of us some comfort, warmth, and assurance that it's going to be all right and that we got this villain and this is what he's going to be dealing with. Love it all. Love this line.
Yeah, it's so good, and you're so right. Almost every one of those lines in that interaction between Lor San Tekka and Kylo could have been in my list. The fact that Kylo's first line is just being a jerk. Look how old you've become. And his delivery on, you're so right, before he's violently hacks down Lor San Tekka. But this line, you cannot deny the truth that is your family. The film was constructed so well to just be watched that first time in 2015, and just having the exposition of, okay, we're guessing Kylo's related, but how, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, things leaked, maybe people were sure, whatever. That first experience, though, was the confirmation. Mm-hmm. So it's constructed well to do that. But more importantly, it's constructed to tell us, the audience, what is at stake. Why is the bad guy in these films? And this idea that, okay, well, something made Kylo run away from his family, Luke, Han, Leia, Han and Leia first, really, and run to Vader, right? And Lor San Tekka has his perspective as, you know, this devotee of the light side, that the truth of the family is the light side, that, you know, Anakin's mistake was his mistake, but he came back from it. The truth of the family is the light side. And the fact that, you know, Kylo says, you know, you're so right, is basically saying, no, the truth of my family was Vader. and it's right. everybody else who failed. Which, you know, once you dig into what's going on with Kylo, it creates this great picture of I couldn't live up to my parents or my uncle. I was always going to be compared to them. They feared me. And I want to be my own person. So I'll be like my grandpa and I'll struggle to live up to him in the same way. This little line opens up all of those avenues of thought that shows you Kylo Ren's psychology.
Yeah, setting it all up right there in the beginning. Love it, love it, love it. That is my number three. Spending some time with Laura Santeca, but now it's time for your number two, and we're going to spend some time with another character.
That is right. We are going to call Kylo's mom, Leia Organa. This is one of the lines that I just had to include. It is one of the most impactful lines for me. Han and Leia are having their conversation as Han gets ready to go to Starkiller Base. They kind of come to peace with their relationship and talk about how they had some good times. Han pulls her in for a hug, and Leia says, "If you see our son, bring him home." Mm. Just the power of that, the pain of this utter just love for their son, and Leia's utter conviction that Han can bring him home, that Han can get through to him, and that he needs to try, right? This is the line that moved me deeply in the theater. I think just Carrie Fisher did a great job truly playing the pain of it. Playing Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher played that connection and that hug so beautifully. It was such a big moment for older actors to be so featured in a blockbuster. There were many levels of it that really affected me. But then, you know, when you get around to Han's end, you know, this was his partner, his wife, his general at times, giving him a mission of like, they were joking earlier about like, I've got a way that I can sneak onto Starkiller Base. I think it's insanely dangerous. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. And like, Leia knows, Han, you will do those things all day. But the hardest thing for you to do is, you know, what you did back in Return of the Jedi is, instead of making your man grunt noise and walking away from me, you turned back around on that bridge and you were vulnerable and you faced your feelings. And I'm giving you the assignment to do that again.
So, man, I love this. I almost want to cheat and bring in my number two because it's literally from, I think it's like the next line or before.
Go for it. Go for it.
My number two, and I even scrolled. I was like, wait, did I submit this wrong? Did I forget to remove my notes or something? My number two is Leia telling Han because he, you know, basically doesn't want to take this task. He's too big of him, and he cites, you know, Luke couldn't even save Kylo, save our son, Ben. And Leia says, Luke is a Jedi, you're his father. And I know that's a line, too, that's close to your heart as well. The reason I almost want to combine them is it just, I personally overlooked this sequence the first couple times I saw this movie. You and I have discussed that on the show before. I was a little flat. The Han's death was a little flat for me at times. And part of the reason I think it was, this is my experience. If you experience something different out there listening, get it. But my experience is I wasn't paying attention to this scene as much. I think it's just, you know, you're watching the movie, you're anticipating, you kind of got a feeling Han might die. And is he going to go out in a blaze of glory? He's going to take all these things. And I was like, oh, he just kind of walks out and gets stabbed. And I don't know. Everything that Leia is saying in here is about that death we're about to see and what it cost and what it was worth and what it was for. And that final mission you talk about, that is such a thing to Han. Han doesn't, it's not that he runs away because he's a coward, but it is these points of vulnerability, who he thinks he should be versus who he knows he actually is. I go to that Kira stuff. That's why she says he's really a good guy. I know he really are. It goes to deep things. It goes to Han turning around at New Hope. And the first thing he does when we see him again is try to run away. It is why Leia looks at him with such awe, shock, respect, and love when he's a general who's going to lead the assault on the floor of Endor. That's all of that stuff there. And when we see Han again, for him to run away, we see it on Takadana. It's so clear. So clear. He won't go. He does the grunt. He does that hunger. Finn's like, they've got Rey. They got Rey. I saw. For Leia just to say this, if you see our son, bring him home. It is the mission. It is the mission that we believe here in Force Center ends up kind of saving the galaxy. And why? Why was it important? Because Luke is a Jedi. He is. You are his father. I am his mother. It is the connection. It is the deep core stuff going on here at Star Wars. And it could easily be brushed aside as because it starts with some great banter, that entire sequence. But it's real. It's and it's the weight of the legacy that they have, the legacy of who they are, is on their shoulders as well. And so I love what Force Awakens is dealing with. So these two lines together, just I really absolutely love them. And Carrie Fisher coming back in 2015, and she wasn't certain, she wasn't confident if she could be an actor anymore. You know, there was a lot of those things, those stories we're hearing, and JJ guided her through. And it's like, she's not in Force Awakens as much as maybe I thought going into the film, right? She shows up a little late because they made that kind of edit in the script where she would have shown up early. You might have seen some Corsella stuff. They choose to bring her in on Takadana, and I think in the end of the day is the right choice. And even though...
Great entrance.
Yeah, wonderful entrance. She has all the weight. Everything she says in this sequence is important, and it's important going forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kind of to tie a lot of our lines together, this idea, right, that strings through your number two and my number two,
yeah,
of, you know, Luke is a Jedi, you're his father, you know, we can save him, you, me, toward, you know, that kind of explains why she's giving him the assignment of, if you see our son, bring him home. And it ties back to your great Laura Santeca line, right, of the truth of Ben Solo's family is, they are never going to give up on him.
Yeah.
You know, Leia has her moment of doubt in Last Jedi, which, you know, Luke supports. No one's ever really gone. But it is, many fans have pointed out, it, these beats track so well through to Rise of Skywalker of Han and Leia have such great love for their son. They could give in to fear. You know, Han even says it's over. He's got too much Vader in him. And Leia's basically like, no, not fear, hope. Mm-hmm. We can get through to him. And those moments that get through to him, that cheek touch after Han has been stabbed is about that I still love you, right? Mm-hmm. And Leia projecting herself to Kylo in Rise of Skywalker is, I still love you. Nothing's ever going to stop that is really powerful. And I think all of it does get set up by Leia and Han's discussions in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, absolutely. I really think it does. That it tracks to Luke, the decision he makes in Last Jedi. It's this pacifist decision we've talked about before, but also I think a little bit of like, I know I can't get him. I can't get Kylo, but I always kind of think, you know, Luke's part of the Force projection is to preserve Kylo for saving later by those that can.
Well, and, Luke says, I can't save him. He doesn't say he can't be saved. He says, I can't save him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, and it all springs out of this stuff. It all really does.
Yeah. Yeah. And just some great moments from Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Some great moments from Carrie Fisher. And, you know, love hearing her honesty as she always was of like, you know, wasn't sure if I could do this, you know, love it. Nailed it. Love it. Love the stuff. And that's my number two choice. That's your number two choice. We got some Leia giving the truth to Han there. And that's what we love about both of them there. All right. We're going to take a quick break here on Star Wars Rank. We're not done at all. We got some honorable mentions and scrolling ahead. We got a lot of them. And then we got some big number one choices for our favorite lines of dialogue in Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. We'll be right back here on Star Wars Rank.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com. That's JennyLanda.com for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to Star Wars Rank. Joseph Scrimshaw and me, Ken Napsok, we're here to take a look at The Force Awakens and pick out our favorite lines of dialogue. But as always, if you listen to the show for the previous 131 incarnations and episodes and chapters, we sometimes kind of still want to talk about things that didn't make our list. So we have those honorable mentions, the runner-ups. Joseph, go ahead and hit me with your best shot because we've got a lot.
You do have probably more than I should, but I'll go through them fast. This is a classic line. Rey saying, the garbage will do. Of course, a huge, huge pop in the theater when the reveal happens. Rey and Finn running away, trying to find a ship. Finn goes, that one. No, that one's garbage. The quad jumper gets blown up. The garbage will do. Turn around. And of course, the garbage is the Falcon. I still always remember the cheers and the applause. And yeah. Ken, were you on to it that the garbage was going to be the Falcon?
No. I've talked about it before, like everything about the trailers, because, you know, we saw, you know, the teaser trailer spends a lot of time in, during the sequence and then the full trailer. And then even when we first see the Falcon and with Snoke's words over that image, everything should have led me to that, including the use of the term garbage, like all this track. I was so caught up in the moment, the very first viewing. So like, they're going to get to that quad jumper. Oh my God, they're going to get out of this. And it explodes. When they pan over, the garbage will do. My mouth dropped like it is now. Like I was like, oh my God, the Falcon. It is such a good, effective moment. I was so caught up in the story, so caught up in it. I completely missed it in a good way, like completely surprised. I love this line because of what it represents for my personal experience with the film.
Yeah, and even if you know it's still a fun line on viewings on reviewings, but yeah, mm-hmm. I was really like, okay, come on, that's got to be the Falcon because of the garbage talk. So I was so excited, and man, that image of it, right? That it's under a tarp, but the tarp is kind of blowing up. There's just so the key word of awakens is so clear throughout this film, and that's just like an image of like it's literally under a tarp. They don't even know that it's great, but they're gonna find out.
Yeah.
Okay. So next honorable mention. This one is painful, but I think about it a lot, both in terms of enjoying it as the line that it is, but also sometimes funny, ironic ways of Kylo Ren saying to his father, "I'm being torn apart. I want to be free of this pain." It's amazing acting. It's getting to the truth of what's going on, of he is being pulled to the light, but he is being challenged by Snoke of no one's ever accomplished this task or the Knight of Ren to, you know, truly kill your past. Do this awful thing to prove that you are powerful and no one else defines you. So I don't want to undersell the power of it at all, but it is also showing this portrait of this kind of young, tortured, very emotional man. And also it's one of those lines that I can actually absolutely respect the depth of it. But then like, I've honestly like said this to myself when I can't open a jar of pickles, I want to be free of this pain. You know, it's really powerful.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. We could go into the depth of it a lot. And, you know, Star Wars being about destiny and choices. And this is he has a choice to make here, and he makes the wrong one. And then later on, reliving the pain of it over and over and over again. I think that's the vision we see with Han, of him wanting to make the other decision. And then also there's just a lot of quotable Kylo.
There's a lot of quotable Kylo. Yeah. And he the utter power of like, this is not going to free you from your pain, as you very quickly found out. A bit of Kylo snark that doesn't get discussed as often, I think, is when I believe Lieutenant Mintaka gives him the report about the escape of BB-8. He said, "Is the Lieutenant Mintaka," I'm paraphrasing, says the droid escaped on a freighter. Kylo says, "The droid stole a freighter."
I'm so glad you included it. Because this could have been on my list, but also I know you really respect and appreciate the comedy in this line. It's really damn funny. And it's a Han Solo kind of style line too. You could see, you know, the connection there.
Absolutely. I also got to throw in, it's the famous from the trailer, but it's great in the film as well. There has been an awakening from Snoke, which is just a fun line. It's a fun force idea. And it's, restating one of the big themes and ideas of this movie.
And love it in the trailer. It's so effective in the trailer. That's just my memory of is watching that over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, there has been an awakening in our galaxy and in yours. Star Wars is back. It's not subtle, but it's powerful.
But it works.
There's a small Maz line that's just the delivery I like, just the way of speaking, when the First Order is beginning their assault and she says, "Those beasts, they're here."
I love that one. Again, there's so much Maz stuff for me, but yes, no, there's just those beasts. She rolls that word around in her mouth. It's so great.
Yeah. I got a few more, but do you want me to kick it back to you?
Absolutely. Going to Han Solo. I love when he shows up for Rey and Finn and they're having a great conversation, and Chewie's got some great stuff in there. Wasn't he a war hero? Chewie's like, I don't know. I love when, as Han's walking away after he, steals the Falcon back, but just, you are Han Solo. He's, "I used to be." I feel the pain of the line. I feel the back pain of the line. But it's such, again, I've talked often, with Force Awakens, finally gets in the theaters. I don't know if and maybe it's on shows when I was speaking on podcasts in 2012, 13, 14, of just like what I was expecting out of Han. I was not expecting Han to be broken, separated from the love of his life and the galaxies, the greatest romance in the galaxy, right? And to get a different version of Han, and it keeps in this theme that you and I keep talking about with Han and the story of Han and all the lessons he constantly has to kind of almost relearn. I just love what this just line means and both good and bad, and just what it represents for Han. So I used to be. It's not the Han Solo quote everyone's going to use at parties, but I love it.
No, and it's a great getting up there in years. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody asks you if you do this. I used to be. But it also goes to this idea that I keep banging on about. It's setting up in Awakening, you know?
Yep.
He kind of reclaims the mantle of Han Solo.
He does indeed. I got another Mons Kanata line. A good question for another time about why she has Luke's lightsaber, which I just love hearing, and I love laughing and thinking, number one, we really truly haven't got it. I know they started to touch upon it in comics and everything, but also that was just such a, oh, that's probably going to be in the next movie. Oh, that's probably. And it's like, no, it's like Maz is literally going, hey, we don't need to know that. We do tip of the iceberg storytelling here at Star Wars. Now listen to Force Center. Don't worry about that. That's not important. The important is why, not how I got it. It's why I have it. And so that line works on a meta level. And it's another, just a great line from Maz.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated that you put this one on the list, because, yeah, I agree with you from like a storytelling perspective. Like, yeah, that's not the point of this. The point is that this artifact of old ended up in my hands. And now it's a question of who will pick it up. What does it mean? All those things are the story, and that's what matters. But I would pair in my mind a good question for another time, and somehow Palpatine returned as these lines that kind of point out.
Yeah.
That like for some fans make the lack of answers worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I have one friend who I really like, who's just like, this line broke Force Awakens for him of like, you have to tell me. you can't say that it's valid to ask and then not answer. So I'm with you in the perspective, but I'm really fascinated by the line of, would it have worked better for people if it was phrased differently? You know?
If she had shot back, oh, I got it from a junk dealer who got it from a bounty hunter who got it from Bespin. It's here now. I've been having it down here.
Yeah. Or if it was just like not narrative of like, you know, I collect many fallen things or something, like, you know, something that didn't literally say maybe in a comic, you know, just in the way it was structured. Right.
A good question for a Marvel comic.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just fascinated by it. Yeah. I don't mind it at all, because I totally agree with what you're saying of, it is in some ways a meta way to say, that's not the point of this scene or this movie. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, kid. Don't worry about it, kid. Another line, I know you love this one too. We've discussed it in other places, but we have to mention it here. Goodness, Han Solo, it is I, C-3PO. You probably don't recognize me because of the red arm. It's just one of the best 3PO lines. I love that moment. It's just my favorite.
It is absolutely one of the great comedy lines, one of the great 3PO lines, a great visual film joke of him just popping his head into the frame and blocking this reunion. Mm-hmm. And the classic C-3PO, great translator who sometimes doesn't understand the way humans work. The idea that Han wouldn't recognize him because of the red arm is hilarious.
Absolutely. I'll say one here and I'll kick it back to you. We talked about the Leia and Han banter and all the stuff on the Dakar base, but you know, go for the depth, but stay for the banter. I love Leia going, don't do that. What? Anything. It's just, it's Carrie Fisher down to the core, but also Han and Leia. I love that.
It is great banter. I love that one.
What else is on your list?
For me, threw in this one Maz line, because I had to, of the trying to give Rey direction, and Rey is not in a place to hear it, of close your eyes, feel it, the light, it's always been there, it will guide you. Some remixes from some trailers, but it's so beautiful. It is exactly what Rey does at the end of the film, and it ties into later ideas when Rey says, you know, there's always been something inside me, but now it's awake. So it's also just peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, like, I would listen to that, to Maz's, you know, relaxation tape on the Calm app. That would include dialogue like this. It's always been there.
Love that.
Yeah. Finn line I wanted to throw in. You looked at me like no one ever had. There's a whole great conversation between him and Rey in Maz's castle when he's going to run away. And he talked about his, you know, past, where he was, you know, abducted as a child and trained to kill, and he decided not to do it. But then what was really meaningful for him and builds this connection that's going to be his motivation for a long time here is Rey is the first person he ran into, and she looked at him without judgment. She saw him openly and honestly and you know, based on his actions, and just the strength of their bond is this, that connection of compassion, of seeing each other like no one ever had, you know, and that line is delivered so well. And
yeah,
I think a good line that really captures the heart of their connection.
Oh, love it. That's a great point. Love it.
Yeah.
Great line.
Last two for me. Hey, Obi-Wan Kenobi's got a line, so I'm going to include it. Ray, these are your first steps. That was absolute great speculation fodder and really, really cool.
Love it.
And final, just on the banter side, the comedy side, is FN1824, James Bond Stormtrooper saying, and I'll drop my weapon.
I love it. I love that moment. I love it. Maybe because I'm such a big fan of Daniel Craig, Anders, Daniel Craig Bond, but yeah, it's a good fun sequence and it's real good comedy.
Yeah, absolutely good one. So that's my list.
A couple more for me here, then we'll get to our number one choices. I've talked and written and just won't shut up about the dual interrogation scene. Rey and Kylo, what I consider Kylo's first big defeat, takes that helmet off. He's so confident. And then he starts to lose. And I love Rey saying to him, you're afraid you'll never be as strong as Darth Vader. Love it. It's clearly a big theme, clearly what's going on. We kind of already can figure that out, but I love Adam Driver and that flowy, feathered, wavy hair he's got in that moment. Just, it is a jab to his heart. It is an absolute jab to his heart. It's a knife. It's a knifing. Boom.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about being motivated by hope or fear, and that she just gets right to the heart of it of, you know, you don't want to be defined by anybody else. You ran away from, you know, your family, and now you're clinging to this guy. And what you're really clinging to is that you'll never live up to him either. Mm-hmm. It's so great.
And fear is driving you. I love Han Solo. Actually, I just realized the last three are Han Solo lines. Hey, as a Han Solo guy, this makes sense. I love Han Solo saying when asked, or when they're showing Starkiller Base, and he just says, how do we blow it up? There's always a way to do that. It's kind of meta, but I love it. It's Han. I love Han on Starkiller Base. I remember you and I discussing this way back in the day with Jen Landa on some of the early shows. I love Han saying, we can't leave. Our friends are in trouble. So he's watching everything go around him. And that is part of Han. And though he often struggles with identity crisis or what he feels he should be doing versus what he knows he should be doing or what he wants to do versus what he needs to do, I should say. I just love it. It's the spirit of Han. We cannot leave. We cannot leave. Our friends are in trouble. Now, I don't know what Yoda would say on Dagobah. Maybe he'd have some comments about the philosophy of it. But I love that for Han, this is important.
I think Yoda would be pro-Han in this moment, right? Because this is followed up by, like, people are depending on us. The galaxy is depending on us, right?
Yeah.
That this is Han being selfless. And I think this is part of what's always worked for me about Han's passing is there's the practical heroism of like, yeah, I'm the guy who used to run away. I can't run away. We're not winning yet.
Yeah.
And then the big emotional victory of trying to reach out to his son.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And a little bit too, not to have the deeper conversation about it, but it's like, it is that like, does Luke want to leave on Dagobah because of fear and attachment versus Han saying, this is the right thing to do. Cause you just said it, Joseph, selfless and, tapped into the good. That's you're right. Yoda will be sitting there going, yeah, I got some thoughts. Let's talk about it. Final one for me, honorable mention. It is, it's a great line. It's a powerful delivery. And I remember going, oh my God. And that is when Han Solo yells, Ben. I love that little moment. Love that little beat. Always have.
It's so powerful. It's such great. There's so much emotion in that line as well as revealing the name of their son.
Right.
Named after Ben Quadraneros, as everybody knows, the joke goes.
As everyone saw. All right. So from there, those are our honorable mentions. We're going to go to our number one choices, our favorite line of dialogue in The Force Awakens. I'll go first. Joseph can close the show with his choice. And we are going back. I told you, I don't think when I sat down to make this list, I don't think I would have predicted that I pulled so many Maz Kanata lines. But then when I was thinking about it, it does make sense. And also when rewatching this movie, and knowing where the story goes and knowing how you and I really in our hearts just enjoy the emotional connections, the emotional canon, the spiritual connections that 7, 8, and 9 have. Maz Kanata, when, you know, sitting around having a plate of food with Han and her boyfriend Chewie's back in the Falcon, meeting Finn and Rey. And we're getting to know Finn and Rey still at this time. We finally get to slow down and get to know Finn and Rey. And this is, she got the big sequence, looking at Finn's eyes and talking about it. And I love, she talks about the fight And Ray says, what fight? As you know, because again, like what fight? I've been out for a while, living in the shadow of the what I thought was the fight.
Yeah.
And Maz in a way kind of confirms that and says this whole line, the only fight against the dark side. Through the ages, I've seen evil take many forms, the Sith, the Empire. Today, it is the First Order. There's shadows spreading across the galaxy. We must face them, fight them, all of us. And I got to tell you something. When I saw it this time around, you know what I thought of? I think you're going to know, Joseph. I thought of Lando Calrissian saying, there's more of us, Poe. There's more of us, Poe, and move over, fly over that ship and get the entire view of the galaxy saying, yes, this is the fight. And we must all be part of the fight, not a military, not an army to lean on. We are the citizens' fleet because this is the fight, the only fight against the dark side. And I listened to this line this time around and I just thought, there it is. That's it. That's the story of Star Wars. You and I can spend hours talking about it, but at the end of the day, it is hope versus fear. It is finding hope in the fear, and it is facing that fear, which is also the journey that the Jedis have to go through. But I love this. This is Maz saying, this is the point, and the point is we all have to get to all the obstacles, all the challenges, but we'll get there. We must rise up. We must all fight the good fight.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. You know, I think when I first saw the film, there was a little bit of like, oh, yeah, this is really, really connecting the threads of like, yeah, I've seen evil take many forms. The villain from the prequels, the villains from the original trilogy, yeah. And now the villains from the sequel trilogy. Like, I think I kind of, you know, took it in on a surface level. But yeah, over the years, it really has punched as they like the sort of moral stakes, the advice for children of all ages stakes of the fear is going to creep in. The fear is going to want to give, you know, get you to give away to anger. And then the anger is going to take shape in some sort of massive stomping horror. And that horror is going to want to give you to give in to your fear and snuff out any little spark of hope. And then this whole trilogy is about keeping that little spark of hope alight against the fear until it can blaze into existence of the citizens' fleet, right? It is mapping out, like Maz is saying, this is what you need to do, and it's not any one person's responsibility. It is all of us, you know, and it ties so well to everybody's journey that she's talking about, you know? Mm-hmm. Han faces his fear. Rey faces her fear. Finn faces his fear on multiple levels. He fights for Rey, but then eventually he has this journey to say, I'm not going to be the guy who runs away. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm going to turn around and make sure this ship goes. Yeah. And you got to wonder if Maz's words are echoing in his head a little bit.
Yeah, it's the only fight against the dark side, and we must all find our place in it, and we all have individual journeys moving us towards this goal. So, Maz, I tip my cap to you and have a drink until you kick me out of your bar. I absolutely love it, and I love on this view. And again, I don't know if I would have included this on a top five 2-3 years ago. I don't know if I would have. And I think Rise of Skywalker helps me see this line in a little bit different. And that's why I love it. It's my number one choice for my favorite line in The Force Awakens. But we're not done yet. Joseph, what is your line?
My line is a Han Solo line. It was hard to make this list. Not all Han Solo, because you got a lot of great banter. This isn't a banter line. This is one of the lines that I think is extremely important in the marketing of The Force Awakens, but even more important in the actual story of Force Awakens and Star Wars. I was going to just do the short version, but I wanted to include the entire context. Rey talks, saying, Rey's amazed, saying that so the Jedi were real. And Han says, I used to wonder about that myself. Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Magical power holding together good and evil, the dark side and the light. Crazy thing is, it's true. The Force, the Jedi, all of it. It's all true. This is so important to, obviously, to Rey and Finn. Of, you know, these characters, these ideas, this reality of there's a larger reality. We're all connected. None of that is a myth. None of that is a lie. It's all true. It's got that added level of, this is Han Solo in about the same physical space on the Falcon, around the same time in the actual progress of the film from A New Hope, having this great reverse rhyme poetry from the young guy who doubted it to the old man who's lived through it and seen it. And maybe he'll never be entirely comfortable with it. Maybe it'll always weird him out. Right. But it's true.
Yeah.
And it matters. And Han has lost nothing by accepting the reality that he sees, that, you know, the Jedi were real, but more importantly, the Force is real. Right. And by acknowledging the Force is real, you're acknowledging that we're all connected. This is all connected. You know, we are more than the sum of our parts. There's more, you know, in the galaxy than you and I have dreamt of, Horatio, to misquote Shakespeare. You know, it's that idea of that there is something larger. And in particular with the Jedi and with the way that Rey is approaching the Jedi, even at this level, there's something to aspire to. There's something to look up to. And I think that was the power of a version of this line in the trailer, and really the power of it in the film as well, is like, he's almost looking into the camera. The grumpiest character in the original trilogy, the grumpiest actor from the original trilogy, is looking at all of us with our lightsabers and our Darth Vader bed sheets and our Ewok hats that we made, and saying, you're not wrong to be moved by this. It matters. You know, I don't want to take it so far if he's saying that it's true, the Force is real, go try to move a stick. But it's the spirit of it matters. The myth of it matters. You know, what it has, the effect it's had on our lives matters. It's such a huge part of this idea of awakening. It's, to me, it's kind of the most, in some ways, like the most moving version of it, is these ideas, the deepest ideas in Star Wars that made you gravitate toward it. They are real and they matter.
Yeah. And it's not a myth. You're going to be walking up those stairs to get to it, because it's all real and you're part of it.
Yeah. It's all true. And even some of it might be grumpy.
Hey, always a place for a little grump. I can't add much more to that, sir. I think that's a beautiful line. It's such a memorable line, right? You're right. Harrison Ford was looking at all of us in that trailer and talking about it. And in a story that is about the legends that came before, and saying those legends are all real, and they all had value. And now it's your story. Love it. I love it. I love everything about it. So,
yeah.
There you go. There you go, folks. That is our list today. We'll re-record this tomorrow. No, we'll, who knows? We'll do a revised list down the line. It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun kind of revisiting this film, even though I've watched it many times since December of 2015. For some reason, just in focusing on the lines, Joseph, I just really was transported back 6 years or so ago to seeing this film for the first time.
Yep, this film that was all about awakening is passing into a myth and nostalgia itself. But The Force Awakens came out in 2015. It's true, all of it.
All of it. All of it, indeed. All right, we're out of here for today. Next time out will be The Last Jedi. If you're listening in order, we might have to skip a week because we got some big news potentially coming. But if you're listening to this 2 years from now, don't worry about it. Then go listen to The Last Jedi one that's coming up next. We're going to get to that. I want to let you all know where to find us here. We're Force Center Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can also like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. Get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can also get an audiobook on us, hey, if you want to, by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And you can find the podcast in a lot of spots. If Apple Podcasts is getting you down, though I know most of you still listen there, you can try Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify as well. You can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You'll get an exclusive show once a month called Will of the Force. We love doing that, seeing where the Force guides us and talking about a funny thing in Star Wars. Well, not funny, it could be very serious. What am I saying? In a Star Wars visual dictionary. Support me if you want to buy. Follow me on Twitter. That's a weird phrase. At Gatnapsock, or go to my website, gatnapsock.com. I do want to highlight, if you're listening in 2021, I'll be doing some stand-up comedy with Mark Ellis in Washington, D.C. at the Comedy Loft. We got four nights, December 16th through 19th. Go to my website for tickets. Joseph, take this microphone away from me because I'm losing the words. I've been talking so much today. Tell them where they can find your stuff.
It's been a big day of recording. Let me see if I can get all the words I say in a order that makes sense. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out all my other comedy adventures on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. Okay, I think I made it through. I'm done. That's it.
You did it. Oh, when I see words, I say, those beasts. That is it. We've looked at The Force Awakens. We'll see you next time. Star Wars has been ranked.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.